There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
So what did I miss? What did I miss?
Well, this is a couple of weekends ago. However, since it happened, things have gone crazy for Sheku Kanamason. That is a name I hadn't heard. Until what happened.
No, exactly.
Emma.
I hadn't heard of him either.
Sheku performed at the Royal Wedding and in a week has become the highest charting cellist in official album chart history. He has surpassed Julian Lloyd Webber.
Wow.
Isn't that incredible?
That's amazing.
Now, this is one that you might not have heard him do. He didn't do this at the wedding of the Royals, but we really, really like this one. Take a listen. Isn't that beautiful?
There's something about strings that just makes all the hairs stand on the end, and that was absolutely stunning.
Sheku Kanamason, he performed at the Royal Wedding. That was him doing Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. He's only 19 years old. Is that overachieving?
What a talent.
What? His album's called Inspiration. It's risen to number 11, which doesn't sound that high. After almost 18 million of us put the telly on and watched him perform three pieces in St. George's Chapel whilst Harry and Meghan were signing the marriage register. I had that song whilst I was signing the marriage register at my first wedding. I haven't let it put me off. It's such a beautiful piece of music. It's the best-selling classical album of 2018. It's past the 1990 album, the Lloyd Webber, where he peaked at number 15. So 11 is really high compared to that.
That's very, very good. Yeah.
Really good. So he told the official charts company, "It's been a crazy week with my college exams straight after the wedding." Wonder what he was more nervous about.
Can you imagine the pressure of having to study for your exams and put something together for the royal wedding as well?
I'm so happy that people are enjoying my music and really grateful for all the support that I've received in the past few days. I bet he is. He says it's been fantastic. Oh. He was crowned BBC Young Musician of the Year in 2016. Harry and Meghan actually asked him to play after they heard him. He was playing at an event called the Halo Foundation in London last year. They heard him. Meghan Markle phoned him personally to invite him to play.
Can you imagine getting that phone call?
I think I would think it was a joke initially. Like, yeah, whatever. Of course it's you, Meghan. Yeah, I'll play. I wouldn't think it was legit until I got the official letter with the royal stamp on it.
Exactly.
Do you have a little Sheku at home, I'm wondering? He began learning the instrument age 6.
Wow.
So no wonder he's amazing. Is there anything you were good at when you were 6 that if only your parents had been behind you and you'd stuck in and you'd thought, you know what, I'm going to make this my life's work. What could you have been good at from age 6?
Falling out of trees.
Yeah, I was trying to think about this. Do you know what I would have been good at?
Go
jumping
on
out of swings. You know when you swing and you get as high as you can go and then you jump out at the last minute?
Yeah.
That's what I would have been good at. Or jumping off the stairs. My brother and I used to do this until we nearly gave each other concussion. We'd get like 2 up, jump, 3 up, jump.
It's not good, is
it? I used to be able to do 7 steps.
Wow.
When I was about 6.
That's amazing.
I was quite light, so I just bounced when I hit the ground. Anyway, amazing. Surprisingly, though, the Kingdom Choir, you know the guys who did Stand By Me?
Yes, they were fantastic. I loved them.
They were amazing. However, they've only entered the singles chart at number 94.
Mm.
So a little bit disappointing. Never mind.
So what did I miss? What did I miss?
And back into a bit of travel next, and we're quickly moving from a world where we're encouraged to travel and be tourists and spend our money where we welcome with open arms and fridge magnets to one where we are no longer wanted in some places. This makes me really sad. Holidaymakers face a summer of protests, violence and social unrest. Backlash against hordes of tourists intensifies.
Did you ever think you would see the day where the tide turned on tourism, Em?
I get it in a lot of places because I've been following a few of these stories, you know, where tourism is becoming a problem due to rubbish and, you know, eroding beauty spots. So it doesn't come as a massive shocker, to be honest.
Have you ever had it? Have you ever felt unwelcome anywhere?
Not particularly, to be honest.
I had it once in Corsica. I don't know why, I just felt really unwelcome.
Really? Why? In what sense?
People were really unhelpful.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And just moody. You know when you wake up and you feel like everyone's had a bad morning? Mm. That's what I felt like in Corsica. I'm sure it's just my experience. But yes, overcrowding is so severe in many popular destinations now that tourists are finding hotels and resorts are already fully booked until the autumn.
Wow.
Cheap deals have vanished. What's the last cheap deal you had?
Probably this time last year when I went to Oslo, we Airbnb'd it. It was my first Airbnb experience and I found an amazing deal for that. It was really, really good.
Oslo?
So, yeah. Surprisingly, because Oslo is pretty expensive. So to Airbnb was far cheaper than doing a hotel. So it was good.
That's somewhere I've always wanted to go, actually, Oslo.
It's gorgeous.
Cheapest deal that I've heard about recently was Sicily. We had a deal of the week last week. Mm. Donata Travel came in. Coming in tomorrow, by the way, if you're interested in the next deal of the week. And this one was over the Eid break. I've told everyone about it. Like, it's amazing. 2,999 dirhams to go to Sicily.
Nice.
Which is a new fly Dubai route. And that's for 4 nights in a 4-star hotel.
Oh, they've got loads of 2-for-1s on at the moment. I've been looking at those. Fantastic.
So, so good. And that's a place I think you would be welcome. But low-cost flights, political instability, the booming Chinese middle class travelling now, they're forcing the world tourist map to be redrawn a little bit. And we've discussed it on The Ticket a few times now. Local residents from Mallorca to Dubrovnik to Thailand, New Zealand, they're all demanding that governments stem the number of tourists.
Mm. And the knock-on effect has resulted in higher hotel prices in Spanish resorts and overcrowding in Mallorca and Barcelona, leading to protests. I can't believe that. Residents have been outraged by the antics of tourists behaving badly in public.
As would I. I wouldn't like it if people came here and behaved badly.
No, that's very true.
Be really mad to see that on the streets. And having been out in Mallorca, it can be a little bit uncomfortable.
It's a bit the 1830s crowd, isn't it? Let's face it.
Yeah, although getting out of Mallorca and going across to the other side of the island, where it was one of the most beautiful places I think I've ever driven around and been. There was this one road that kind of seemed to go along the beach, but maybe about a kilometre inland. And you'd take these tiny little roads off and head down towards the beach and you'd get to a bit of forest. You'd drive through the forest and suddenly you'd come to a clearing. The most beautiful bluey green water. People on the beach, like a little cafe, the forest behind, and then mountains and blue sky.
Sounds
it's
amazing.
Unreal.
Sounds
really nice.
Amazing.
Anti-tourism groups in Palma and Mallorca, they've called for a summer of protests. The city became the first in Spain last month to ban Airbnb-style rentals, which could have been blamed for soaring housing costs for locals. Because if everyone's renting out their property as an Airbnb, it means how do people get cheaper properties who need to live there all month, every month? Would be a bit of a nightmare.
It would, and problems are worse in Venice, apparently, where the mayor set up turnstiles last month at key entrances to the city to divert tourists to less crowded streets. The city's dwindling population has rallied, staging marches and putting up posters declaring, "Tourists, go away, you are destroying this area."
It's worked. I don't want to go to Venice. I've never been, and I don't want to go. You?
I'd love to go. It is on my bucket list. My bucket list is now getting smaller and smaller off the back of this, to be honest.
It would have been on my bucket list had I gone maybe 5 years ago. But now I'm like, I know what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
It's going to be swarmed with people. And it's not going to be that quaint, amazing Italian place that you see on photographs of years gone by, is it?
Is it getting harder and harder to find places off the unbeaten track then that haven't been touched by tourists?
I think so.
I think so.
Definitely.
Too.
Definitely.
And TV shows and cult films are also attracting the crowds. More than 1 million people a year are visiting Dubrovnik, the UNESCO World Heritage Site in Croatia. That was in Game of Thrones. Of course, TV shows and movies a lot to blame for this. Places like Ireland, and of course, New Zealand, and all those kind of places that have these big franchises filmed there.
And Dubrovnik's mayor is going to limit the number of visitors allowed into the medieval city each day from now on. In New Zealand, a party of barefoot tourists had to be taken off the 7,500-foot active volcano that was in Mount Doom in Lord of the Rings. What were they doing with no shoes on?
Well, I was just going to say, what in, on earth would possess you to walk barefoot across a volcano?
That's really weird. Did they do it in the film or something?
Mind boggled. Well, yeah, hobbits, they don't wear shoes.
That's because they weren't invented.
They could have just given them big hobbit feet, though, instead.
That's a weird one. Farmers are sick of the invading hordes in scenic parts of the South Island in New Zealand. They've reported more than 100,000 walkers a year. That made me laugh. Because I always think the least offensive group of people have got to be walkers, right? They pick their rubbish up. They're just walking. They're kind of inoffensive.
But in the meantime, they're carving their trails as they follow one after the other. On the same path.
I guess. Tourism is the country's most profitable industry, though. Now, in Thailand, tourists have been barred this summer. We know from Maya Bay, which was in the film The Beach with Leonardo DiCaprio. And we know that Boracay in the Philippines is now closed for business till further notice.
It is. They decided they were going to close it for 6 months, and then I think they reduced that. And one of the big clinches to all of this as well, I don't know if you ever saw the YouTube video about the tourist that went snorkeling in Bali, and he was literally had his GoPro on the end of a selfie stick, and he was literally snorkeling through a field of plastic.
That's so horrible.
It was awful.
That's really sad. So where are you going to receive a warmer welcome this summer if you are travelling? It's not all doom and gloom. If you've been to any of these places where you will get a warm welcome, please shout out. Let us know how lovely they are.
So if you have been to Turkey, tourism tanked after years of political upheaval. Tour operators have returned, though, and are reporting record demand for the country. Prices are low. What about Slovakia? Have you been to Slovakia? Bratislava is on my list. Looks amazing. And where else have we got? Lithuania. The golden beaches of Lithuania are often overlooked, but the country is great value for money, apparently.
Also Montenegro. But just going back to Turkey, I went to Turkey when I was about 19 years old with a friend, and I went to Marmaris.
Okay.
Which is probably more the Gran Canaria, Tenerife kind of part of Turkey. You know, like really vibrant nightlife. Lots of young people going on holiday there. It was, not my cup of tea. But there are parts of Turkey which are meant to be incredible, like Bodrum.
Yes.
It's meant to be really, really nice and upmarket. Montenegro is somewhere that I would really like to go, but you can avoid the Games of Thrones hordes if you swap Dubrovnik for Kota in Montenegro, a tiny fortified city. I kind of feel bad saying this because the problem with these small, gorgeous cities is that people then go and ruin them. There's walls from the 12th century in the city. It's got a UNESCO World Heritage status in its own right. The highlight there is the Cathedral of St. Tryphon. Now, just don't tell anyone if you are going to go there. We'll not mention it.
You've just ruined it now, Steph.
Sorry.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.